We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Here in studio with me, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing?
Now, also, interestingly, you're no longer just the sheriff. You're also number one on the power list from N Weekly. So, I mean, does that confer, like, knighthood or sainthood?
I thought
sainthood,
you were going to say number one in your heart.
Well, no, that's true, too. No. But, you know, I don't – that didn't get printed in the paper. So, and am I wrong? This is the first year, I think, that Rick has done elected officials to be on the power list. I think.
No, he's had, in fact, David Morgan, my predecessor, years ago.
Oh, was on it? Okay, so my mistake. Okay, fair enough.
As well.
All right, so you're
number one on that list is a little bit of a politician, don't you think?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But you're number one on the list, and you're a big, brave boy. You ran into fire when it was going on. Andrew Hobbs wrote all about you, and, you know, which I know is totally your person. But now you're retired from the list. You can't, once you win, you can't be it. It's like being DeLuna, right?
Yeah,
you can't be in the court anymore.
You can move to side.
Emeritus, you know, yeah, graduate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Look, I really appreciate that. I mentioned yesterday to some people that I started off years ago. I was a police chief, and I got on the list. It was like number 100 out of 100.
Yeah.
And I was I'm proof that you can work your way up from 100 to 1.
From being a lowly little corrections officer who had injuries that prevented him from getting a job at PPD or at sheriff's office.
Right.
And now come full circle, I'll show them.
I'm just a policeman, right? and that's all I ever really wanted to do is to serve. And I've been.
I actually didn't know that part of this. I didn't know that an injury kept you from ECSO back in the day.
It kept me from going what we call across the street from the jail to going to corrections. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, to rookie school instead of correction school. So I hobbled my way through correction school with a broken leg.
Yeah.
And they didn't care back then. They just needed people. So if you can wear your cast if you want to over there at the jail.
CO, by the way, working in the jail as a corrections officer in case of the lingo. I apologize, the acronyms. Well, anyway, that's great news. Congratulations on that. Man, we got a lot of stuff I want to get to. Let's start with probably the hardest one first, just because it's been so much in the news, especially on social media. So this guy allegedly crosses the center line scenic highway, causes a wreck that kills two people. He's impaired, allegedly, with now it turns out to be prescription drugs. But mere minutes prior to doing that, he was over on the west side. He got pulled over. Somebody had called 911 because he was asleep in the car, a good car length back of the light. EMS shows up first on the scene, kind of checks and sees if he's okay. I think at this point it's unclear exactly how thorough that check was, but she says, you know, medically kind of, you know, there's nothing wrong with him that I would need to, you know, do anything. Your deputies, one shows up as working the case, another one shows up as is common. She kind of goes through some of her questions, says, you know, yeah, he talks weird, but I don't know that that's proof. Does not do a sobriety check, then follows him after he takes off and follows him for 2 miles. Subsequently, then, of course, these people die. A lot of criticism for your agency and for the deputies on the scene, not doing a sobriety check, not pulling him out of the car, not doing more, which obviously turned out with catastrophic results later. Your thoughts?
Well, again, this is a Pensacola police case. The crash actually happened in their jurisdiction. Terrible, terrible tragedy.
Yeah.
Our deputies did have an interaction with him along with an EMS personnel. We were dispatched to that area on a assist EMS, which we do all the time. Our deputy, not one deputy, but two deputies, and the EMS personnel had a brief to moderate interaction with him. The EMT, which I thought did a good job. I mean, they're criticizing some of the things that she did. But she turns to us in the body camera that we, in full transparency, we put both body cameras out.
Right.
She says, he's answered all of my questions. The deputies that were on the scene did not detect what they felt like would have been impairment. And she actually followed them with the conclusion of that interaction. She followed that truck. And if you ever driven a lifted Jeep with big tires, you know how difficult to drive. Mm-hmm. And she followed him about 7 blocks until she got called away to another call. And then ultimately later on, unfortunately, that vehicle was involved in a traffic crash. I think that the only thing I will say about this is that aside from the family, no one bears the weight of these decisions, these discretionary decisions, more than law enforcement officer. And we make hundreds of decisions like this every day, whether it's the domestic violence that you don't make an arrest, you walk away from. I know that I have been in law enforcement a long time, and we've done cases where we've had to walk away because we didn't feel like we had enough. And the tie goes to the runner in the United States. If you don't have probable cause to make an arrest, you don't make that arrest. And again, we're both of these the interactions are under review. We take a look at everything that we do and see if there's something that we can do a little bit better. So the traffic stop and even the transfer of the information from EOC or 911 into Escambia County. How much did they hear? How much was relayed to the deputy at the scene? All those things are under review within our agencies. We are asking the Pensacola Police Department for a copy of some of the body cameras that they've got. But again, the bottom line is our deputies did not detect any alcohol. And she makes a comment in there that it's an unusual speech pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So she acknowledges that they talk different, or it was speaking different. And that's where we are.
When you watched it, did you feel like, yep, that's what I would have done, or that's what my policies teach people to do? Or did you, because obviously there's everybody's armchair quarterback, you know, Monday morning, obviously, but that's what I always think is, you know, what would I have done in that circumstance? And, you know, I don't know, I'm not a cop, but I, you know, it seemed weird the way he was talking and the fact that he'd been asleep, you know, at the wheel. Although I guess when the EMS got there, he was not asleep or something like that. So it seemed weird not to do something, but is that just because I know how it turned out in the end, or is that because of what's actionable at the time?
Well, I think the easiest time to be a cop is after the fact.
Yeah. Right?
All those decisions are easier to make. And again, you have to understand that we make hundreds of these calls, and you have to use your discretion. You have to use what is available to you. You go back on your training. She did, if you recall the body cam, she'd ask if he was drinking, and then ask if you were doing any kind of drugs. And so there was some thought as to that, and the determination was that it was a medical.
Now, last question on this, because you mentioned it was the following him afterwards for like seven blocks. It right. seemed to me like if you're uncertain enough to follow him, then you act on that uncertainty before he gets behind the wheel again. If you're worried that he might be impaired, you don't find out by letting him drive. You find out by doing some kind of a field sobriety test. That didn't seem like a normal procedure to me, but you tell me.
Well, I believe that there are many times that you conduct a traffic stop, and both vehicles were facing the same way.
Yeah.
Both vehicles happen to be turning left onto Cervantes Street. And if you're behind the car that you had just stopped, you're not going to close your eyes on that type of situation. You're going to pay attention to what they're doing. Just as an added evaluation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And then again, she got called away.
So it's not that she thought he was impaired. It's that she'd already decided that there wasn't enough action to be taken. And then she was following just in case she got it wrong. Not that she thought she had it wrong.
It wasn't, I'm going to follow you to see if you're impaired. It is we're both happy to be going the same direction.
Okay.
I'm going to pay attention to you
because
I know the history of where we just left on. And again, just as an added evaluation piece.
That makes more sense to me. Okay, I got it. Other things, you guys pitted a car over on Massachusetts this last week?
Yeah, we did. We another stolen car that we detected based upon our license plate readers. And we already talked about what they do with these stolen cars. They're up to no good with stolen cars. Try to stop it. As they do, they didn't stop. And as we try to get our deputies to do, let's pit this car as quickly as we can. We do not want the car to get up to speed. We do not want this car to get to a mobile highway, to a major thoroughfare. And the deputy did exactly what they're supposed to do. It spun it a little bit. Bad guy gets out, tries to run, doesn't go far. We end up arresting him. And at the cost of a bumper, no one else is hurt. And a bad guy's arrested and a car is recovered.
And it was one for stolen vehicle. Was that the primary issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you said a cost of a bumper, but you have the equipment on them now that you don't even have to replace the bumper, right? Like it's designed to be able to.
Bumper. It was the bumper. Oh, his bumper. Another car. Yeah.
the car owner's bumper. I got you. All right. Fair enough. You also had an issue where this is obviously not your guys' fault, but you had a car that ran into one of your cruisers during a traffic stop. Is that right? Up in the north end?
Yeah, but in North End, we had a deputy, actually had a rider, a cadet. They ride with our deputies just to get the lay of the land, if you will, and to make as much experience as they possibly can. So in this case, they were staging to try to pick up a gentleman that had a warrant on him. So they pulled over to the side of the road, clearly off the road, all off the road, just so everyone knows, and a car failed to navigate a turn, clipped the back of that car and actually rolled over. The tremendously unfortunate part of it is that there was an infant in that car, but luckily that car, that infant was restrained, taken to the hospital for evaluation. And as I understand it, no long-standing. Well,
thank goodness. How do you roll over turning a corner? How fast do you go? I mean, that's...
Well, I think when you clipped the back end of our car, it lifted that one portion of the car up and it turned it. I didn't see it, but that's based upon my accident reconstruction experience.
You guys are in line for about a $5 million grant to offset costs associated with cooperation with ICE. Is that right?
Yes, we have been made aware that there was some money available for those agencies that are part of this 287G program, which means that we will help ICE if they come here and they want some assistance, and we will do that. So we looked at the needs that we have and what could potentially make us more capable, and part of that is buying new handheld radios. A lot of the old radios we have, we can't talk to other agencies. We have an aging system. And the radios are about $12,000 each, and we have a lot of deputies, and we needed some consoles. So that's part of what we applied for this grant for.
This is just the handheld ordinary radio you carry around with you all the time?
These are about 360 handheld radios we're asking for, to the tune of a couple million dollars. We also need some data storage. We put out these body cameras. We're able to have body cameras because we have the storage for the body cameras. And I don't know that people understand just how much storage all these videos have to take.
And then 350 deputies, something like that on the street.
No, we have 450, 470.
Yeah, all recording, deputies. A lot of video. Right. Video is very memory intensive. Transfer, all that, right?
Yeah, and that has to be preserved. Certainly, the ones that result in an arrest or a case. So yeah, we have to. Oh, we had the need for that. We also got some hardware for some of the license plate readers. So. And all this stuff is expensive, and it would take us years to gather that much money through the existing budget process to be able to get ahead of these radios and this storage and this the license plate reader. So we apply for the grant, and so I'm getting questions are, well, you're going to do this and that for ICE. Well, we will support ICE. We're not going to allow what took place up in Minneapolis. If ICE needs our help, we are going to help them. This makes it so where we can... we can be more capable and more functional and have the capacity to help our local, state, and certainly our federal partners.
Cops and Crawfish coming up next month. No, April. When's it coming up?
It's coming up in April, middle of April. We are still accepting applications. People can sponsor it. It's at Five Flags Speedway. It's and there's a car show there, so you have cars. Please pay attention to Escambia County Sheriff Foundation social media platforms. They'll give you information on how to sponsor, how to enter, or how to get your container full of crawfish.
And you had some canines. Was it win a competition? What happened here?
Yeah, we had one over in Orange Beach. A couple of canines actually finished in first place, and we had, I think, four other canine groups, individuals or team events, finish in the top 10. So our canine teams, they kicked butt. They did a really good job. It's the
was it Streeter? Is that one of the ones? I thought I saw a name I recognize, and that's the one that comes top of my mind. So
probably was Mallory. I know it was involved. I don't know the dog's names. I know it's a little bit of our canine Olympics. You know, we always could do this once every 4 years. That's not true. I made that up. But
do they wear skates?
This one, yeah. You think so?
Not in Florida.
The deputies wear the skates.
That's right.
Don't do that either. Don't wear skates.
One of the questions that you actually got asked going back to the power list was, you know, future, you know, what you want to do. And you love being sheriff. I know you love being sheriff. And you're not really aiming for higher office. But I have heard that maybe if if the county decides to go to an elected instead of an appointed county administrator, you know, Wes's job right now, and used to be the deputy or the assistant county administrator, that you'd be willing to run for that job?
There was a long conversation about what potential jobs people could have, not just me, but others.
Uh-huh.
And I made the comment that I'm used to, used to being in the position that I'm in, where I can make these decisions based on what I think is best for the community. And I'm not sure if there's any job. I said, short of an elected county administrator, which many entities do have. They call it a county mayor, county whatever. Orange County has that. I said, if they ever did that, I would strongly consider running for that type of position. But there's no conversation.
You heard it here.
There's no conversation. I'm not pushing for it. I'm just saying if it happens.
John Peacock hasn't been lobbying you to go for this. All right. Even if they cut property taxes, you still want that job?
Someone has got to make decisions in this Gambia County, and even if the money is a little short, I think that there's some things to do. But hey, I'm happy to be the sheriff of Escambia County. We're doing great things. We have been able to accumulate a tremendous amount of talent. We are retaining employees, and the sky's the limit for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Top of the power list again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.